Joining me right now, Democrat of the day. He is the former governor of Maryland. He's also former mayor of Baltimore, former Democratic person seeking the Democratic nomination for presidency in 2016. He's kind enough today to join us about Joe Biden's campaign. Governor Martin O'Malley is kind enough to take some time with us today. Governor, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Hey, my honor, Matt. Good to be with you.
I got to tell you a quick story, if you're okay. I was so looking forward to hearing you speak back in 2016 at the Mondale dinner, but you had stopped your campaign right before then, and so and I like Bernie, I liked Hillary, but I wanted to see Martin O'Malley, I'm so glad we get a chance to talk because I'm a fan of yours, my friend.
Hey, thank you. Not many people are lucky enough to even have the opportunity to run for president. I wish I could have secured a better result, not only for my candidacy, but for more importantly for our country. But it wasn't to be. But I did. I did enjoy being out there, and I'm glad to see in this round so many people embracing policies like moving to 100% renewable energy, and other policies that we advanced in that campaign. So, Matt, you know, each of us in the mosh pit of democracy does our very best, and we hope others will carry it over the, over the finish line. And I'm doing everything I can to help Joe Biden right now, and I'm so glad that he is our party's nominee. And this is our opportunity to correct the bad mistake we made 4 years ago and restore some dignity and decency and forward movement to our country again.
Mosh pit of democracy. I'm making that into a t-shirt, just FYI. Sometimes you get insulated. You're in your own city, Minneapolis, St. Paul, large city, but it's nice to talk to prominent Democrats from other places. Talk about your perception and your experience and just your disgust at what's been going on in this country with Donald Trump as president.
My take on all of it, Matt, is this, that when people fear that tomorrow is going to be worse than today, they start to act in ways that, in the hindsight of history, will look irrational. And in other words, when you have a candidate like Donald Trump playing to people's deepest fears, their fears of other people taking from them that which is theirs, the mentality becomes one of building walls and pulling up the drawbridge. We've seen this at other junctures in American history before, but we've never seen it really practiced out of the White House. Usually candidacies like that are prevented by the larger, consensus-building necessity of gaining a party's nomination. But in this case, that didn't happen. And so great countries sometimes make bad mistakes, but good people get to correct them in the very next election. And that's what we need to do and be able to do. I'm calling you from Baltimore, Maryland. So in my state, Vice President Biden is doing very well. You know, he's a neighbor, having represented the state of Delaware adjacent to us for years. Your state, on the other hand, is right in the center of being able to save our democracy. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. These are the places where the politics of fear and despair has taken root. And you all have the ability to appeal to people's better angels, to be able to remind us that as Americans, there is no challenge too great for us to overcome if we work together. And that's what Joe Biden's about, man. He has a blue-collar work ethic. He believes passionately in that better future that our parents and grandparents believed in. And I worked with him as a governor, Matt, on the Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And I can tell you, I once said this to him, and he didn't take it as a compliment, but I said, man, you might have missed your calling. I think you would have been a great mayor. And what I meant by that was that he had the humility to roll up his sleeve and sit down with the governors repeatedly, sometimes in person, usually on the phone, and ask questions like, why isn't this program moving faster? Why aren't we helping the people this program was intended to help by now? What is it that we need to do differently? What can we learn from one another? And all of those things are the hallmarks of a modern collaborative leader. very different than what we currently have in the White House, and a president who, even when warned that a pandemic was coming, decided to lie to us and tell us that it was going to go away, and it wasn't a big deal, and more people died from the flu and all of those other things that have led to such horrible suffering for so many families.
I want to touch on something. I know you have a strong background in economic policy. There is this – the economy is something that is to a point being overlooked, but the economy is pretty much in shambles. The trade markets have been gone. The unemployment market is bad. Even stuff that's positive. Okay, well, we got good housing sales because the interest rates are low, but then you look at the rental market and it's been decimated. You look at, oh, stock market's going up high. Well, that's because they gave money to the Wall Street so that they could gamble on it like it was Atlantic City. You know, there really is no – safe port on our economy right now. Talk a little bit about that and how you feel Joe Biden would be able to tackle that problem, because that is going to be a massive issue for the next 4 years.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that the stock market's even a good indicator of the economy. It's one indicator, but it's not the indicator. I mean, most people I know don't own stocks. They work hard. They serve other people. They build things for other people, you know. First and foremost, I mean, we have to return to the truth, that American truth, that our economy is not money. It's people. It's all of our people. And 85% of our economy is actually consumer spending. Activities by individual people working for and with one another. And you can't really have an economy that's vibrant and robust if people are afraid that when they go outside, they're going to die and catch this pandemic. So the foundation of a society is safety. And right now, and the primary duty of any commander-in-chief, we've been badly failed. But this pandemic, we totally missed the jump on it. And I was on a phone call the other day, or a panel the other day, with Dr. Wen, who you've seen on CNN, you know, public health doc, actually from Baltimore. She said something that was pretty chilling. She said, you know, 6 months into this thing, and with 200,000 Americans dead, I never dreamed I would say that we're worse off now than we were before. Her read on this is that we're probably maybe in the middle of it. It's going to take a collaborative leader, a commander-in-chief, to restore that confidence that consumers and Americans and workers need in order to make our economy go again. It's going to take something else, too, and that is some long-term investments that make our country a winner in this changing economy. Now, some people say we're going through a third industrial revolution. Some people say we're going through a fourth. Whether it's the third or the fourth, it's a big change. The winning fuel of this new economy, unlike coal and oil in the last industrial revolutions, is renewable energy. And Joe Biden's commitment to move our country to 100% renewable energy by 2050 is not only a national economic priority, not only something that will create tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs, but it is also something that is a national security priority, given the threats of climate change and all of the entanglements that we've seen in endless desert wars that were fought on various pretenses, but at their core had to do with securing our oil. So look, I should take a pause there and come up for air from that long soliloquy. But, Matt, you know, it really is all about jobs, jobs, and jobs. Our economy was put on a better track by Vice President Biden and President Obama. An unprecedented string of positive month-over-month job growth. And that string even lasted into Donald Trump's presidency until he chose to ignore the national intelligence and the scientists and wrecked our economy by letting this pandemic wreak havoc in ways that are worse, frankly, in terms of response than any other developed nation on the planet.
Former Governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, kind enough to join us today. Talk about trade. We're, of course, in the Midwest, lots of ag. You talk to farmers here, the markets are gone. And not only are you looking at Trump's meddling in our trade, having hurt the farmers directly, one of the things which is a really a very scary thought process is that many of the markets that we had sold our products to have already started making deals with Brazil, Argentina, Australia, New Zealand, any place but the United States. And those are long-term contracts. Can the trade markets be recovered, or has Trump done so much damage to them that it's going to be a long haul before we get back our prestige of our trade markets?
I believe that we can restore them. I believe that we can make this better. A lot of it has to do with the credibility of our government, of our leader, on the confidence that when you shake hands with the United States or businesses in the United States or farmers in the United States, that the deal will be honored. We have a person in the White House who believes that the art of the deal is to violate the deal. So there's been a lot of damage done to our credibility. But Vice President Biden is a person who is familiar with the way this world actually works, not the make-believe way that Donald Trump would like to believe it works. And I believe that, you know, with some greater stability and some sanity and a focus on restoring American credibility, that we can open markets again for farmers. We're the breadbasket of the world. That should be both an economic advantage as well as a national security advantage, but it requires credibility in the White House. And we don't have that right now. So other countries are trying to find a way to make it in the world without having to be at all dependent on the United States. And that's not good for farmers. It's not good for jobs here. We need a United States that's engaged and credible in the world.
Turning back, you mentioned coronavirus. Clearly, one of the things that's going to happen with this new Supreme Court nominee that's going to happen is the Affordable Care Act is going to be done. They're going to, because of Republican changes to the Affordable Care Act in 2017, they set it up to be where the Supreme Court would throw it out. But now that they have even a larger conservative majority, it is pretty much doomed. How do you feel Vice President Biden will be able to tackle this? Because clearly it's probably going to have to be a brand new version of the Affordable Care Act that's going to have to get passed before it will be able to go into law. Do you feel as if that's something that's going to be attainable, or are we going to be looking back to the pre-ACA days of annual limits, lifetime limits, and pre-existing conditions is the world that the Republicans are trying to bring back?
I have faith that we are going to restore our democracy, that we are going to, we might even win the United States Senate. And having been a practicing lawyer for a number of years before being elected mayor and then governor, I know that the judges are kind of reluctant, Matt, to do things that are hugely unpopular with citizens. Courts tend to not want to inject themselves into things like taking away people's health care. So I understand, and we all should be worried and concerned about they're forcing through whoever the replacement is for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I also don't believe that one, and let me say it in a positive way. Now that so many people have been able to secure health care and have that protection for themselves and their family and their children, I think it would greatly hurt the credibility of any court to undo that which the people's representatives have put in place and provided for our citizens. I don't believe that the ACA is finished and done, but I do believe that the only way to make it better is by electing Democratic senators in more states and by electing Joe Biden president of the United States. It's definitely in jeopardy, but we can save it and make it better.
Well, you're probably going to get Tina Smith back from Minnesota, so that's a good first step this election cycle. And I know it's hard to gauge from probably the East Coast, but I'm pretty sure that Joe Biden's going to take Minnesota. I mean, there is a little bit of hubris there, but then Trump went up to Bemidji and did his, Hitler cosplay speech where he talked about, look at all the good genes in the white crowd. And, yeah, I think you can count on Minnesota to stay in the blue column.
Yeah, I've noticed, the polling polling is what polling is. But I know that you've had a pretty forthright couple of Democratic governors in Minnesota. Your economy has outperformed other states like Wisconsin that's had Scott Walker for a while, And so God bless Minnesota. You all can save our country. But look, man, it's not just Minnesota. Everyone in Minnesota knows somebody in Wisconsin, somebody in Michigan. You know, it's almost become cliche to say this, but we're all in this together. And
yes.
Especially across Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Minnesota. I mean, we're looking to you guys, men and women, to lead the way. You all have always had that respect, reverence, if you will, for the common good we share as a people. And it's really great to see you calling it forward now as we head into the stretch of this most important of all elections.
And Governor's right here. If you know people in other states, you should be calling everyone you know, making sure they're registered to vote, knowing how they can vote, if they can vote early, how they do that, where if they're going to go vote in person, where to vote. Make sure you make those phone calls and get everyone to the polls. And don't undersell yourself. Maryland is a spectacular state. I've been there a few times. I have had a great time every time. Love Baltimore. That is a great town.
Oh, thank you. And you guys have already started early voting, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. We started last Friday. You can vote in person. You can vote by mail. There's a lot of ways. Steve Simons, the Secretary of State here, he's got the setup in Minnesota is great. So it's really easy to vote. And, of course, you can always vote in person, too, coming up on the 3rd. Governor Martin O'Malley, the governor of Maryland. Sir, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. And by all means, I'd love to have you back anytime you want to come on my show.
I'd love to. Matt, thanks a lot. Great to finally talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Governor Martin O'Malley, governor of Maryland, and once again, former candidate for the Democratic nomination in 2016.